Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast, little Thursday afternoon delight for you guys. And I'm back with my updated SEC quarterback power rankings. We're up to two power rankings a week. Maybe next season we'll do three power rankings a week. I don't know what else I'd rank, but today we're ranking the quarterbacks, doing this week in, week out. I don't even look at the list, what I did last week when I come up with these. So these are totally fresh, and they're based purely on 2025 football season. I don't care about recruiting rankings. I don't care about transfer rankings. Quite honestly, I don't care what you did last year. You got to prove it to me this year on the field in the SEC. And yes, Marshall, John Mateer, we're still counting Mateer in here for the time being. Because, hell, Oklahoma's on a bye week anyway, so we haven't seen Michael Hawkins. Maybe Michael Hawkins, if he plays, Mateer could be back by then. I don't know. But in 2 weeks, when Hawkins takes the field, he'll probably make a debut on this list. So let's get into it. And buddy number 16, who saw this coming? I'll tell you who did. Shout out Nick Roush, who said DJ Lagway in for a big sophomore slump. And boy, did he ever nail it. Good night. I mean, it's so bad. We got a guest, Zach Goodall. We're going to put out that episode I recorded with him recently. We're going to put this out tomorrow. He said DJ should be benched. And you say, what the hell? Bench DJ? Well, he's 8th in the conference in completion percentage. He's 11th in passing touchdowns. He's 15th in passing yards. He's 16th in yards per attempt. And he just looks awful. I think he's a bigger issue than Billy Napier right now, believe it or not. I don't think firing Billy Napier is going to fix anything here. I really don't. Now, well, it'll fix the program. But it's not going to fix old DJ because DJ's banged up. I hope he gets better. But he right now, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, lost confidence or something, certainly injured. He was spotted in a walking boot. Florida's on a bye. So guess what? DJ is going to be here next week, unfortunately. Dead last, 16th, DJ Lagway. Prove me wrong. I hope you do, because I am a fan, but not a fan of what he's been doing on the field this year. All right, number 15, Cutter Bowley. He's got something to prove this week, going on the road. Kentucky's going on the road. Now, you beat South Carolina, you beat Lenora Sellers. I'll rocket your ass up this list, Cutter Bowley. And this is not even a reflection of, like, I hate this guy, I think he's awful. Actually, I think he's looked pretty good. I watched him last year against Texas. Again, these rankings don't have anything to do with last year, but he played against Eastern Michigan. I know that Eastern Michigan, they suck, but he looked good against old Eastern Michigan. So I like the promise here. He's a Kentucky kid. I think he looks a hell of a lot better than Zach Calzada. And if he had been starting the whole year, they probably beat Ole Miss. There, I said it. So, and I'll say it again. They would have beat Ole Miss if he was a starting quarterback. Shout out Cutter. I think he's better than Calzada, but that ain't saying much. You're number 15, Cutter Bowley. Number 14, God's gift to football, Arch Manning. Come on down. You have not proven much about what you have done this year. Now, again, all this hype, you may have turned it around. I think that's old Sark kicking down my door. He's pissed off at these rankings. I liked what I saw against Sam Houston. Completely dominated those losers. But Arch Manning is 11th in the SEC in yards per attempt. He's 14th in completion percentage. So he is way down the list. He does not deserve to be any higher than number 14 on this list, in my opinion. So he's got room to grow. He's on a bye week, so he's probably going to be here again next week, unless other quarterbacks have horrible performances that make him skyrocket down the list. But maybe he'll have an opportunity here against Florida, against Oklahoma. Both of those defenses, you can mock Florida all you want. They got a really good defense. They limited Carson Beck in a big, big way last week. Oklahoma, we already know, went after Jackson Arnold. 10 sacks. I don't know if it's 10, 9, 11. They changed the sack total by the day. But whatever. They were all over his ass. Arch Manning, he's got a real opportunity that his next two appearances, Florida on the road, Oklahoma's defense. If he performs well against those, he'll jump up his list, but he ain't done it yet. So he's number 14. All right, number 13. Oh, God, what's up with all these hyped quarterbacks? Again, I'm going based on what I've seen on the field this season. I'm not giving any treatment to off-season narratives. Lenora Sellers, number 13. Boy, he was number one on this list. What a dumbass I am. Nate was number one on the list after beating Virginia Tech. I thought he looked like $1 million. I thought, well, he'll put it all together, right? That was just an outlier. Hell, that was kind of who they were. They've been the same damn team basically the entire season. Now, Sellers did have a better game against Missouri, but not enough to get the dub. He did throw a couple big plays down the field. I believe he had two passing touchdowns, and he had the 48-yard touchdown reception. If we see more of that, Sellers, he'll move up this list. But it's been few and far between for South Carolina's quarterback this football season. So, Sellers, hate it for you. I think you're better than this, but you're number 13 based on what you put on the field this football season. All right, number 12. Dun, 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 dun. Jackson, Action Jackson Arnold. If this was a running back list, he'd be probably a lot higher. But this is a quarterback list. And I'm not saying he's, you know, we credit him for the 181 rushing yards and four touchdowns. That's pretty solid. But in the SEC, he is number six in completion percentage, but he's 11th in passing touchdowns. He's 12th in passing yards. He's 14th in yards per pass attempt. He's not horrible. Hell, I don't know. Again, I'm just repeating myself based on last year. How the hell do you grade a quarterback that's been sacked 9, 10, 11 times a game, whatever the number is? I don't know. But he had wide open guys that he missed. He had open guys that he hit too. So he's almost like a complete mystery. He could look like $1 million one play. He could take a dozen sacks the next game. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure what to do with Jackson Arnold. I think he's got the world of talent. He's got talent around him, but he's got to perform better. And I do think it's overly critical to grade him on the road against Oklahoma, who their fans will tell you they got the best defense in the country. You can't say you have the best defense in the country and at the same time say Jackson Arnold ain't worth a damn because he threw for, what, 220-some yards and a touchdown. And, I mean, something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. If you're doing that to the best defense in the country, you might be a good quarterback. But you also might not need to hold on to the ball so long. So, again, there's a mix of good, a mix of bad. Give me Jackson Arnold, number 12 right now. Number 11, I don't know where in the hell to put this guy. We'll find out a lot more Saturday. But I'm putting Trinidad Chambliss, number 11. He's looked sensational. Here's an interesting stat. He's number one in yards per pass attempt in the SEC. Now, he's not had a ton of attempts, so it's fine to sit here and say, well, maybe that's because of a short resume. It's because who he's played. Well, who's number two in passing yards per pass attempt? Austin Simmons. How about that? Austin Simmons is number two in the SEC. So if Trinidad's number one and Austin's is number two, I'm not trying to take away from those guys, but what does that tell you? That tells you that it's the offensive system, the game plan, the play calling from Lane Kiffin. So, it doesn't take away from what Chambliss has done, but I think he's a little bit of a product of the system, and I think the schedule, defensively anyway, Arkansas, Tulane, not impressive. No one on either one of those defenses is impressing me. But who has been impressing me is Trinidad in his two appearances, 195 rushing yards, two touchdowns, four touchdowns, passing, no interceptions. If he does something like this against LSU's defense, he'll be top five next week, I promise you. If he just absolutely destroys LSU, we got to give this man his due. And I do expect he'll be the starting quarterback, but who knows? It could be Austin Simmons. I know there's widely reported it's going to be Chambliss, but Lane Kiffin has refuted that. Of course, I don't believe a damn word Lane Kiffin says because he's the opposite of JR, who's an honorable man. Shout out, JR.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He has gifted a membership to Mitchell Owens. Mitchell, welcome to the family, courtesy of JR. We appreciate you, buddy. All right, let's get back to the quarterback rankings. Number 10, this guy's taken a hit in the last couple weeks. Nothing he really did. I think it's more about the guys a little bit above him, but he's going to have an opportunity to prove himself this weekend. Give me Blake Shapen, number 10. He's been solid, very, very solid for Mississippi State this fall. He's number 8 in passing yards in the SEC, number 8 in passing touchdowns, number 10 in completion percentage, and he's got the huge win over Arizona State at home. So I give you credit for wins that you're getting on the field. Blake Shapen, Saturday, we're going to learn a lot about him going up against Tennessee. Tennessee's got a defense that you can really take advantage of. Tennessee, their secondary may be awful. I don't think it is, but it may be. That may be the storyline coming out of Saturday is, damn, Gunner lit their ass up. If Blake Shapen lights their ass up, we might have some real questions about Tennessee's defense, particularly the secondary, but we'll see. So Blake Shapen, you're number 10 for now. Number 9, Garrett Nussmeier. What? Garrett Nussmeier, he's the number 1 pick in the draft, didn't you heard? That's not what this list is. This is how he's performed on the field this year. And, you know, they say he's injured, so that kind of explains some of it. But he's 15th in the SEC in yards per pass attempt. That's awful. Dinking and dunking, not getting the ball down the field. He's number 4, though, in passing yards, number 5 in completion percentage. He's number 9 in passing touchdowns. So he's kind of all over the map. He's got the conference win over Florida. Really, DJ Lagway gifted him this one. It had very little to do with what Nuss did in that game, in my opinion. But he's got the huge road win at Clemson, which has looked diminished every day, each passing day. But again, I'm not going to knock Garrett Nussmeier for destroying Clemson and then them falling apart. That's not on Garrett Nussmeier. So Nuss is another one. Not quite sure where to rank him because he's been banged up. And I don't think he's looked as good as I thought he would, but he's got an opportunity Saturday to prove it on the road at Ole Miss. If they win, it's going to be because Garrett Nussmeier has a hell of a performance. I don't think LSU's got any shot to win this game unless Garrett Nussmeier plays the best football we have seen him play. And I think we saw his best football last week against SEL, whoever the hell that is. He was looking his sharpest. Now, is that he's healthy, or is that because their SEL is awful? I don't know. The truth could be somewhere in between. So give me Garrett Nussmeier, number 9, for right now. Number 8, Ty Simpson. Come on, Simpson. Here's an opportunity for Ty Simpson, I think, to showcase his talent here going against Georgia. Number 1 passer rating in the SEC, number 3 completion percentage, number 4 in yards per pass attempt, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and he can run a little bit. So, again, I think that's solid. Again, weak competition, yes, but he's looked sharp as hell since that Florida State debacle. And even in the Florida State game, if you actually go back and watch it, that loss wasn't on him. He played a pretty solid game. Not as good a game as he could have or that he showcased since, but that loss was not on him. That was on the defense. And I mean, hell, they just gave up in that game for whatever reason. So Ty Simpson, give me number 8. I think he's been razor sharp, and I think he's kind of the key to the game here for Alabama coming up against Georgia. Hey, shout out. We got a donation from Tolkien. Hey, cousins. At Wesley, been drinking already today. Hell yeah. Ole Miss wins this one. 3 in a row at home. Mark it. Talking that talk already. Oh, buddy. Yeah. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be going live here in a couple hours for the prediction show to see where Shane and I are at, but I don't want to tip my hand just yet. I do want to tip my hand on who's number 7, though, in the quarterback ranking. Shout out, Bo Prabula. And if Bo's all the way down here at 7, that tells you we've got some elite quarterbacks in the SEC right now. So nothing Bo did to kind of knock him. I've had him a little bit higher previously. He's number 2 in completion percentage in the SEC. He's number 4 in passing yards. He's got 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He's also got 148 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground. He's got the conference win. He's got the rivalry win. I mean, everything's clicking for old Bo Prabula. But I question whether some of the defenses have kind of, now that they have tape on him, are they starting to figure him out? I don't know. And I don't think we're going to get that answer against old UMass. We're going to get that answer against Alabama here in a couple weeks. So I'm not knocking Bo. It's just the guys ahead of him, I think, have been a little bit more impressive here recently. But Bo Prabula, he's a hell of a quarterback, and I think he's the biggest surprise in the SEC after the first month of the season. Another big surprise? Number six. Give me Marcel Reed. Come on. Completion percentage, not great. 16th, dead last in the SEC. But everything else is working. I mean, he's number three in passing touchdowns. He's added 142 yards. He's got the touchdown on the ground as well. He's beat Notre Dame on the road with a clutch drive. He has come up time and time again with, you know, all this attention to Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion. We don't even know their damn names if Marcel Reed can't get him the football, which he has been doing. So big credit to Marcel for getting the huge win on the road at Notre Dame. I would love to see him clean up and be a little bit more accurate. He's missed on a lot of deep throws. They're taking a lot of deep shots. It's kind of what the A&M's offense is this year. Pound the ball, throw it over the top. So maybe that's why the completion percentage is naturally going to be a little bit low if you're taking so many deep shots. But aside from that, aside from the completion percentage, been very impressed with Marcel Reed. It's time to give him his due. And he's got a big test this week with Auburn coming to town. They're going to make Marcel beat him, if I had to guess. So we'll see if he can do it. Number five, give me Diego Pavia. Come on down, baby. Diego, I mean, he's a catalyst for this Vanderbilt turnaround. He's not doing it all by himself, but he is doing a hell of a job. Number one in the SEC in completion percentage. Number five in passing yards per attempt, number six in passing yards. He's added the 215 rushing yards and a touchdown. He's won on the road. He's won on the road in conference play. He's doing it all for Vanderbilt. Give this man his damn due. Diego Pavia, he's awesome. I don't care how old he is. He's actually the same damn age as Joey Swagular, so I don't know why that's a talking point. He's younger than South Carolina's starting running back. You never hear him talk about that, but shout out Diego. He's having one hell of a year, and Vanderbilt's about to cruise their ass to 5-0 and make Cousin Shane do a little walking. Diego. All right, number four. Speaking of old quarterbacks, he's mature, not old. Joey Swagular, come on. I think he's the best passer right now in the Southeastern Conference. Maybe not the best dual threat, but the best passer of the football right now. Give me Joey Aguilar, number one in the SEC in passing touchdowns. He's actually tied with Talen for number one. He's got number three passing yards in the SEC, number six in yards per attempt. And buddy, he has been a revelation for Josh Heupel and company. And oh man, all these Tennessee haters, they're going down without Nico. Hell, Nico, who the hell is that? They'd rather have Joey Aguilar than old Nico, and there's not a damn Tennessee fan that would argue with that. So Joey Aguilar looks fantastic. He may very well be in the running for the Heisman. I don't think he's done enough. I think he's got to win some games here, particularly some conference games, before we can start with that nonsense. But he's got an opportunity this weekend to beat no one else could beat Mississippi State this year. And I heard the Arizona State quarterback was elite. He's going to be in the NFL, first round pick. Mississippi State made him look like a damn joke. I don't even think he got 100 passing yards in a game. So this is a real test. I think this is a lot tougher test than people realize. Give me Joey Aguilar, number four. But he's got to prove it this weekend on the road in the Southeastern Conference. Speaking of prove it, that's what this man did last time we saw him play. Shout out Gunner. Gunner Stockton, number three, best win of the season. I think you can make that case, beating Tennessee in that, you know, damn near, what is it, a little over 100,000 screaming orange fans at you. He's number four in the SEC in completion percentage. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's added 124 yards on the ground and three touchdowns. He's clutch. And going back, if you go back and watch that Tennessee game, not even the spectacular plays, like the throw to London Humphreys to win the damn game, which was phenomenal, but so many other plays where, you know, maybe it's like third and four or third and five, and Tennessee's got a defensive lineman literally about to smack Gunner right across the face, and Gunner steps into the throw and delivers it. And that doesn't may not sound like much, but that's what it takes to be a big-time NFL, or excuse me, college and even NFL quarterback to be elite. You got to step into the pocket, take these hits, and Gunner, in his brief time here as Georgia's starting quarterback, has shown that he is fully capable of doing that, and I value clutch wins and clutch performances more than anything else. So shout out Gunner. A huge game, obviously, this weekend with Alabama. Got to do it again because they're going to be coming after. They're going to make Gunner beat him. I think that's going to be the recipe. He did it against Tennessee. Can he keep it up? I think he can based on what we've seen, but we'll see. Number two, dock this guy a little bit. Not really his fault, but he's turning the ball over a little bit more than I'd like to see. Give me Taylen Green, number one, tied with Aguilar for passing touchdowns in the SEC with 12. He's number two in passing yards. Hell, Taylen Green's number three in the SEC in rushing yards with 360. This guy's doing it all. But like I said, four interceptions. That's tied for the second most in the conference. I'd like to see that cleaned up. And he literally can't carry the entire team, even though they're asking him to do it. So shout out Taylen Green. You're awesome. You could be the number one quarterback in the SEC. I'm splitting hairs at the top here. There's no quarterback I'd rather have, I don't think, than Taylen Green right now in the Southeastern Conference. But, again, you got to beat Memphis, too. And again, I know Mike Washington fumble. That's not all Taylen Green, but the red zone interception was. So, you got to beat teams like that if you want to be the best quarterback in the SEC and the best quarterback in the country, like Mr. John Mateer, number one in my book for this week in the SEC. He leads the SEC in passing yards. He's been a huge, huge, huge catalyst for this Oklahoma run here to get to 4-0. Remember, a lot of people had him as 2-2, and I think Venables would have got fired. I really do. If they lost to Michigan and they lost to Auburn, and they're sitting here at 2-2. Brent Venables probably not getting fired immediately, but he's getting fired at the end of the season. I mean, that's how much pressure is on everybody at Oklahoma. And yet, John Mateer, he is the offense. He's the running game. He's obviously the passing game. He's the leader of this damn team. So I want to give John Mateer his credit. Hell, broken hand, and he's still beating Auburn. So, I mean, it does not get more impressive than that. John Mateer, right now, heading into week five, number one quarterback in the SEC, in my opinion. Any questions here? Oh, Stephen Up. Shout out, Stephen Up. He must have liked that comments about old Ty Simpson. So we appreciate you, Stephen Up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen Up. He gifted a membership to 45 Long Coat. 45, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of Stephen Up. all right, any questions or anything? I'm fired up. I need to make my predictions here for the game. I haven't even done that yet. But Shane and I will be back on at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central to do that. I'm going to be going up to Paul Feinbaum's show today at 5:30 Eastern, 4 Central. So I got to get ready for that as well. And we got a lot coming behind the scenes. We got multiple interviews coming on Friday as well. So the channel is going to be absolutely loaded heading in to Saturday football action. John Mateer, looks like he posted something. I don't know. Let's see. There's a lot of trolls out there. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me see. This is even a real account here. Thank God, a successful procedure. Dr. Shin is the GOAT. Boomer Sooner, according to John Mateer. So, and his last tweet was, I don't bet. Who knows if this is even real, if he's tweeting it out, someone on his team or whatever. So, I don't know. I don't know. I read too much into a tweet that he sent on Thursday afternoon. But it is what it is. Hey, we'll be back again tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Appreciate each and every one of you for hopping on here late. I got a lot of work to do. Otherwise, I'd hang out a little while longer. We'll be back here in a couple hours. We appreciate each and every one of you. Until then, bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.